Hey, my name is Ryan McVitie, and I am the pastor of the River Worship. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. If you haven't heard about the River yet, it's an amazing move of God happening in the greater Toronto area. Yes, Toronto, Canada. It's a cold place, but we have warm hearts, and we love coming together every Tuesday night and worshiping the Lord with all we've got. We also get to dive into the Word, and that's where we're going to go right now. We're going to dive into the Word of God, and I trust and pray that it will impact you in a powerful way. If you're ever in the Toronto area, come visit us. We would love for you to worship with us together. But enjoy the message, and God bless you.
Our scripture tonight is short, but it's sweet. And I want to read it to you because it is going to encourage you tonight. I believe this message from the Word of God is going to encourage you. Our main passage, it's short and it's sweet. It's Psalm chapter 37, only two verses, verses 23 and 24, and it says this: the Lord makes firm the steps. Look at your neighbor and say, the steps. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, anybody in this room that's ever stumbled before? Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Have a seat and say, I'm so thankful. Say to your neighbor, I'm so thankful. He doesn't let me fall. I might stumble, but I won't fall. Now that you got your seed and you're drinking that holy anointed water straight from Costco, I want you to help me out. You're going to read the title of this message. It's not going to mean a thing to you right now, but by the time you leave in about 2.6 hours, that was a joke, don't worry. It will make a lot of sense to you, and I hope it will really change your life, because the Word of God has a way of doing that. I can't change your life, but the Bible, oh my goodness, the Bible can change your life. And that's what we're going to get into tonight. So would you look to your other neighbor, the one you've been ignoring to this point? You know you've been doing it. Look right at him right now. And say the title of my message. Say, step first. Come on, say it together. Step first. Yeah, it's time to get stepping again. Step first. You'll know what that means soon. But tonight I want to get into some of those questions. Not the little questions that come in your head all, you know, just popping in and out. I want to get into some of those big questions. You know, those type of questions that you think about late at night when your head hits the pillow. And you start to wonder some things. I'm talking about some of the big questions of life. Because if you're anything like me, that's when I start thinking about it, is late at night when I'm trying to sleep and I go, man, what about this and what about that? I want to deal with questions like this, big ones, where you start thinking, Lord, what is my purpose? You know, I'm doing this job right now, or I'm doing this right now, but it doesn't feel like my purpose. Like, God, what is my purpose? God, what is my calling? What have you called me to? Where have you called me to? How about this one, single people? Who, Lord, have you called me to? I'm 26 years old and I still don't have my boo, Jesus. Come on, I can't go to heaven alone. Who have you called me to? It's a big question who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. These questions, friends, these are all okay questions. In fact, in a way, it's healthy that you're asking the Lord these questions, because you're respecting his priority in your life, which is good. But sometimes these questions can build and get to a point where, if you're not careful, the pressure of them can crush you, where they can feel heavy and they can start to hurt. I remember when I was 17 years old, man, how stressful it was. What university are you going to? What college are you going to? What program are you going to be in? What career are you going to have? Who are you going to marry? How many kids are you going to have? Six kids, bro. You know how much food is now? You want me to be poor forever? The questions when you're young, they start mounting up when you come that age of college and university. It's stressful at 17, but you know what? It's even more stressful at 37 when you don't have all the answers yet. And I don't know about this one, but I would imagine at 67, it's even more stressful. God, there's still questions I have. I don't want to miss what you have for me. And if we're not careful, here's the form that they can take. What if, God, what if? What if I never meet them? What if I miss that thing that you have for me, that career, that calling, or that purpose, whatever it may be? What, or how about this one? God, what if I've already messed it up? You know me, you know the condition of my heart, you know what I did. What if I've already messed it up? That what if is dangerous, my friends, because they say the biggest word in the English dictionary is what? If. I-F. If. You know, you ask the girl, and she says, oh, I would love to date you if I didn't view you as a brother. Guys, let me just help you out. If she ever says that to you, it's done. There's no way back. As soon as she calls you brother, you have been friend-zoned until the day that you die. You got to move on. There's a lot of wonderful fish in the sea. If is a pretty big word. If is a pretty big word. Hey, if I win the lottery, I would buy you a car. Sure you would. Hey, if I had $1 million, I would tithe for sure. Bro, if you have $1,000 and you don't tithe, I promise you, you're not tithing when you got $1 million. If God does this for me, then I'll go there. Then I'll obey. Then I'll believe. If, what if? What if, God, it never happens? These questions, we got to be careful because truthfully, my friends, when you wait long enough, you can get to a point where you say, God, just show me. God, show me. I need the answers. I'm tired of waiting. But I want to tell you something, Christians. This isn't popular preaching, but it's the truth. Waiting is part of the journey. Jesus Christ, when he was walking fully God, fully man, when he was walking in the flesh, he had the greatest calling of all time on his life, to take your sin and my sin. Now, certainly not the easiest calling, probably the hardest calling of all time, to be murdered on a cross, to be hated, to take on the sin and shame of all of us. He had this great, significant calling. But do you know that he spent 30 years not doing what he was born to do? He spent 30 years not doing that thing that he was born to do. I don't say that as a criticism, of course not. Jesus Christ was perfect. The point being that even Jesus Christ waited. Not just Jesus Christ. And I mean, you know, 30 years is not a short time. 30 years as a carpenter. Imagine the quality of those tables. You ever think about that? I'm like, man, if Jesus made this thing, put Restoration Hardware to shame. How good this thing must be. Don't go to Restoration Hardware. One couch is like 30 grand. 30 years, though, for 3 years of ministry. A lot of waiting, and it's not just Jesus Christ. In the Bible, so many people waited. David. I love the story of David. Anointed king at 15, maybe 16 years old. Famous. Defeats the giant that you just sang about in that song. Hero of a nation. And he becomes a fugitive for 15 years. Living on the street, hiding in caves, trying to not get killed. Waiting to be king. The anointing sounded great, but he had to wait. Abraham promised to father a great nation, yet he's 100 years old and he's got no son. 25 years, he waits for Isaac to come. Yet still, we are always surprised when we have to wait. And I'm the same. I don't like waiting. Waiting isn't fun. I tell you all the time, those of you who come here, that I struggle with this notion of waiting. But I want to talk to you about it a little bit more tonight, because as we wait, if we're not careful, there is something that starts to consume us, and that is worry. Constantly worried about every what if. What if? And we worry, and then we call that worrying waiting on the Lord. My friends, worrying is not waiting on the Lord. It's not the same thing. But we stress, we say, what if she says no? So you know what, I just won't ask. It's better that I just don't ask. Now you're 39 and still single. what if I share Jesus Christ and they think I'm weird? What if I share my faith and then they look at me different in the workplace? What if we can live and be paralyzed by this? What if? What if I apply for the job, but I get rejected, so I just won't apply? There's no way I could ever have that job, ever do that. I want to come and attack these what-if scenarios that we keep running through in our life. Years ago, before I got saved and became a preacher, I was saved, but I was in law school. Barely saved when you're in law school. And I had a professor who gave this devotional. It was really interesting. It was about an animal. I have a 2.5-year-old son right now, and he's learning all his animals. So every night, I'm like, hey, look, you know, it's a lion. Roar, it's a tiger. We go through all this. Anyways, he was telling me about this animal called a leaping impala. Anyone ever heard of a leaping impala? They're in Africa, and they're these amazing creatures. They kind of look like a deer. And I was like, where is he going with this? We're in law school. Is it devotional? Why is he telling me about an animal? And he says, here's the crazy thing about a leaping impala. A leaping impala has the ability to jump 33 feet. Think about this for a second. That roof right up there, the very top of it, is 30 feet. There's an animal that can jump 33 feet. That's crazy. But he said, here's the crazy part about a leaping impala. And I didn't believe him until I went to a zoo and saw it myself. He said, if you go to a zoo, a leaping impala won't be in a cage 30 feet high. In fact, the pen that it's kept in, the walls will only be 3 feet high. Which is crazy if you think about it, because this animal can jump 33 feet, but it's kept and it's arrested in one place by a 3-foot wall. And here's the punchline that he said in the devotional. He said, the reason why every zoo around the world is confident they can keep this animal in a 3-foot wall is because if the animal can't see where it's gonna land, it will not jump. So if you put a 3-foot wall in front of it, so that it can't see where it's going to go, you can rest assured that it will never jump. And it will stay exactly where it is. And I got to thinking, isn't that you and me? Don't some of us stay in a season that God doesn't want us in because we're scared if we take that leap, we don't know where we're going to land? See, the impala needs to know the destination before it starts the journey. And so do you, and so do I. We say, God, show me what will happen if I say yes. Let me show you what you and I want. Y'all, I had to work for this prop, okay? I had to work. You have no idea how I had to work for this. Anybody know what this is? Somebody over 50 said, it's a map. Everybody else is like, I don't know what that thing is. Look at this thing. I need a minute. Bear with me. Okay. First of all, you know how hard it is to get one of these in 2024? Gas stations don't have them. Walmart doesn't carry them. You can't even order them online from Walmart. Canadian Tire doesn't have them. One of my friends, he went to Canadian Tire to try to help me and ask for a map. He said, hey, bro, you sell a map? He said, hey, bro, do you have any maps? And he says, yeah, it's called Google. Try it. It works really great. I was like, thanks, man. But finally, Amazon came through, and I got this bad boy a map. And I want to just look at this for a second, because those of you who are under 50, those of you who are under 40, you don't know about this. But this is how people used to live. This is how people used to get from where they are to where they want to go. You know, we talk about distracted driving now, where you have your phone out, right? Because you're looking at the next turn on your GPS. Imagine driving a car with this thing up. And you're like, oh, there's the on-ramp, shoot. This is some prehistoric stuff I'm showing you. History lesson at the river. Could probably sell it for good money. Why am I showing you this, though? Because here's the thing about a map. This map is of where? It's of the city of Toronto, okay? And the greater Toronto area, if I flip to this other side. Whitby, we're on here somewhere. This map right here, it's not useless, almost. It's not useless, though, because let me show you what a map does. A map shows you, let's go back to Toronto. If you take this turn here, it will lead you here. A map shows you the what if. If you take a turn, this is where you'll end up. A map shows you if you go this way, this is what the result will be. Why am I showing you this? Because if we're honest, this is what we want God to give us. Lord, show me the map for my life. Show me his name. He better be 6'2", tall, dark, and handsome. What's his name? Show me her name. Show me the job. It better be 6 figures, because you know that housing market, Jesus. Show me the map. Show me if I'll be happy with them 40 years from now, or if I'll be divorced. Show me. This is what we cry out to the Lord for. But God brings you to your promise and answers your what-if questions. He gives you the answers to your constant what-if and your constant worry. Hear this. He gives you the answers when he is ready to and when you are ready to. He takes you to your promise when he's ready. That part of it we can't control. God is sovereign. But we do have a bit of a play in the equation. When we are ready also. The when, in some respects, of course, is God's sovereignty, but in some respects, it has to do with the decisions that you and I make, called obedience to the prompts that God puts in our lives. So what he will do, we want the map, we want to see it all now, but he'll reveal it when you're ready. Why does he wait to reveal it when you're ready and give you your blessing, your promise, your calling when you're ready for it? Here's why. How hateful would it be if he gave you your dream girl before you were ready, and in 1 week you messed it up? How hateful would it be if he gave you that job, that promotion that you've been praying for, before you had developed the character and the work ethic to sustain it, and then you lose it, and you're fired, and you can't get it again? See, here's the thing. God is not a genie in a bottle. Or will we just rub him the right way and say the right words and go to the right services, and then he gives us all the answers? No, that's not how God works. God is a father. In fact, God is the greatest father of all time. And here's what fathers do, good fathers. Good fathers give you what you need when you're ready for it. When you're ready for it. Cheap fathers just give you what you want, because it shuts you up. And then you'll stop praying every night and every morning to him. But that's not how he operates. He loves you enough to give it to you when you're ready for it. But if we're truthful and we're honest, we get so obsessed with needing the plan, needing the map, needing the answers to all the what-ifs, that my fear, my friends, is that if you live in the constant what-if and the constant worry, you're going to miss something much more important. And that is not what if, it's what now. What now, God? What do you want me to do today for you, Lord? What do you want me to do? And that's the first point I'm bringing to you tonight. Trade your what if for a what now. If we spent as much time praying to God, saying, God, what do you want me to do right now? As we did, God, what will I be in 10 years? Who will I marry? What is my purpose? Let me just tell you, I promise you, the outcome would be substantially different. Because see, maps, these things, they show you what if. But they're cheap. They're not good. They don't really work. You know why? Because maps don't update. The day this thing was printed is the day its knowledge ended. A new road might appear. A traffic jam might appear. See, this shows you what if, but God doesn't show you what if. God shows you what now. And the reason why I put this up and you laugh, and most of you wouldn't know the first thing about using this, is because you use something a whole lot better. Something called GPS. Any GPS fans in the house? Come on, admit it. You've been coming to the river for 3 years and you still put the river in on your GPS to help you get here. It hasn't moved, y'all. It's been in the same spot for 3 years. But you still do it. I'm the same way. I love a GPS. I punch everything into a GPS. You know why I do it? Because I realize that the GPS can see things that I can't see. The GPS has data and knowledge that I can't have, that I can't attain. I love GPS. I hate to admit this to you, but I'm 35. I do remember life before GPS. It was hard. It was real hard. I remember calling my dad. I should admit this, 18 years old. I was almost crying on the phone because I was driving in downtown Toronto and I was lost and I was freaking out to him and I couldn't just punch it in to see where to go. He's asking me, he's like, can you see the lake? Can you see a tall tower? I'm like, they're all tall towers, Dad. It's downtown Toronto. I don't know where to go. I'm lost. Life before GPS is hard. In fact, I was driving with my mom and dad, Muskoka, Dad. I hope you still love me. And he got pulled over by a police officer. I won't tell you what for because I don't want to incriminate him. It wasn't bad, y'all. It wasn't nothing bad. And he got pulled over, and I was in the back seat. And GPSs now are on your phone, but kids, believe it or not, once upon a time, you had to buy a GPS. It was like a standalone thing. It was like, that's all it did was GPS. You had to buy it, and you had to put it up on your windshield. And he had that, and he got pulled over, and my dad's a gracious man. He's talking to the police officer. He's talking real nice, trying to get out of that ticket, you know? And he didn't get out of it. He got the ticket. But after, they're just having small talk, and I'm in the back, and he's like, hey, the officer says, hey, man, you got one of those new GPSs. What's that like? Do you like it? I've been thinking about getting one. And he said, oh, it's great, really helpful, except for the fact that now I have two women telling me where to go all the time. I don't know if that was worse to my mom or my dad. I love both of y'all. But GPSs are amazing. The main reason why GPSs are incredible is because they make it really simple. They say where to go right now. They give you what's called turn-by-turn guidance. They say, in 1.4 kilometers, turn left. In 0.3 kilometers, turn right. And they have knowledge that we could never have. They see a traffic jam, they divert you. They'll even help you out of those speeding tickets, Dad. They'll say, speed check ahead. So you know, so you can slow down and then, you know, speed back up later. Safely, obeying the law. They're incredible. Lindsay, my wife, she loves GPSs. I guarantee you to come to the river tonight, she put in her GPS. She works here. She basically lives here. I guarantee it. She loves her GPS. I hate her GPS. You want to know why I hate her GPS? This girl, man, she has the audacity. You know with Siri, you can choose what accent Siri has now and the type of person it is? See, I got the generic Siri lady. Ain't no problem with that. Everybody's got the generic Siri lady, okay? There's nothing attractive about her voice at all. This girl has an Australian. I envision him 35 years old, ripped, 6'5", coming off a Hillsong stage, you know what I'm saying? And her GPS, with its turn-by-turn voice guidance, says, turn left now, babe. Right turn ahead, babe. She programmed it to call her babe. So I get in this girl's car. The first thing I do is turn off the voice guidance. Bro, you better not call me babe with your Australian accent. That's my babe. I get in her car and I shut that thing down. And I don't need it anyway. I know where I'm going until I miss my exit again. And again, because I've muted the voice that's telling me where I'm supposed to go. Do you ever mute the voice of God? Like you know it's there. He's the same God, right? You sang it. He doesn't leave you or abandon you. But you go, no, I don't need that voice right now. I know where I'm going. I know where to go. Because let me tell you, you mute the voice of God long enough, and you'll miss a whole lot of turns that he has planned for you, my friend. Or do you do this? This is what I'm guilty of. Anybody else jam in their car? You know what I mean by jam. You crank that music all the way up in your car. Of course it's Christian. It's only What a Beautiful Name. Always. 100% of the time. No matter what. But you crank it loud. You know what I'm talking about? I do that. I crank it so loud. I wonder if some of us crank up the voices of worry and what if so loud in our heads so often that we can miss him speaking. See, maybe we don't mute him, but maybe we give more attention to other voices instead of the one voice that knows where we should go and when we should go there. See, here's the other thing about GPSs. When you don't obey them, when it says turn left and you miss your turn, here's the crazy thing. Your destination doesn't change. God has a plan for your life, I can't change the plan that God has on my life. It's up to him. That's why he's God and I'm not. But I can sure make my estimated time of arrival a whole lot longer. You ever heard of the Israelites? Delivered for 400 years of slavery and bondage from Egypt. 12-day walk to the Holy Land, 40 years. Missed turn, readjust. God tells you what to do right now. And when you miss your turns, see, you still go to the same destination on the GPS, but you make your path a whole lot longer. You don't make your path straight. You start taking detours that you don't need to take. And here's the thing. The Bible tells us this in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. It's coming up on the screen. Trust in the Lord God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, on your worry, on your what ifs, on no, I don't need the voice guidance anymore. I know I'm good, Lord. I know where I should go. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. And what will he do? He will make your paths straight. I want you to get where God has for you in the least painful, quickest way possible. And the best way for you to see that in your life is to listen to not the what ifs and all the other voices, but to ask God, what now? What now? See, we got to stop living by the what if, the worry, and we got to start living by the what now. But the what now is the work. The what now is the worship. The what now is the obedience, even though the turn says something that you don't want to do. GPS, you sure you want Don Valley Parkway at 5 p.m.? You sure? Because I'm a Toronto man, through and through, and I know what that's like. I'm not getting on there, but if the GPS says it, okay, I'm going to do it. Because it has info that I could never have. See, sometimes the Lord will ask you to do something that makes no sense to you. Anyone ever been there? God asks you to do something and you're like, Jesus, you crazy? You didn't say that because you're more Christian than me. But you were like, what? That doesn't make sense. It makes me think of Joshua. Anyone know Joshua? The walls of Jericho? Imagine you're a great commander of a great army and you have to besiege a city that has great walls and you want to bring the walls down. If it's me, I'm trying to build a catapult. I'm trying to build ladders. I'm coming up with spies and strategies to try to get through the gate. And you know what the Lord tells Joshua to do? March around the walls for 7 days, not on recon runs, not building fortifications. Blow your trumpets. Worship the Lord while you walk for 7 days. And you know the story so well from Sunday school. What happened on the seventh day when the trumpet blew 7 times? Those walls came crashing down. But imagine how foolish Joshua must have felt on the sixth day when for 6 days straight he has taken his army of thousands and nothing has happened. And every general's saying, man, you're a kook. What are you doing? We got to fight. We got to get in there on our own strength. Joshua understood something that I need you to understand tonight. It's not your strength that's going to do it. So he might say, fight your battle with a trumpet, with worship. And you might say, what is worship going to do to restore my marriage? What is worship going to do to break my addiction? What is worship going to do to get me into that career that I've been praying for? But here's the problem. You still think that you're the one that's going to do it. But it's not you that's going to do it. It's him that's going to do it. So our job is to obey. What now, Lord? Trumpets don't look like crumbling walls. When you say trumpet, no one thinks of a wall come crashing down. That doesn't make sense to us, but here's what I want you to get tonight. It doesn't have to make sense to you. It just has to please the Lord. Because he's the one that's going to do it. Give him some praise. Come on, help me out. Who am I preaching to tonight? Point two, let's speed up because we got really great worship coming. Oh, man. If you don't hear anything else I say, hear this. It never looks like what it will be. At the beginning, in the early stages, it never looks like what it will be. I'm going to show you something on the screen. Put it up. I got a picture for you. It's coming up. Anybody know what that is? I don't know. Shout something out. Maybe it's classroom. What is it? Trucks, factory, Chevrolet Silverado. Do you know what that is? That's the place that you're sitting right now. That's the place that you come every Tuesday and worship the Lord and cry out. But it never looks like what it will be at the beginning. 4 years ago, the leadership of Canada Christian College, me and my father and others, my mom, so many others, we walked in to this space. And we heard the Lord say to us, build an altar where people can worship me. Where people can worship me in masses and frequency more than ever before. Build an altar. And we said, okay, Lord, it doesn't look much like an altar. I see trucks, I see a spray paint booth. It doesn't look like an altar, but you say, okay, Lord, I'll do it. Fine, I'll do it. And then we started telling other people, and they said, that, an altar? You're crazy, that'll never work. That's a truck warehouse. That's not a sanctuary, it's not an auditorium, it's not a church. People started saying we were crazy. But you know what, we started anyway. January 2020, we started. But then, 2 months later, something happened, a little something. I don't know if you've heard about it. It happened in March of 2020. This small thing called a global pandemic. And the whole world shut down. And the project that was just 2 months in right here came to a complete stop. And for months, it didn't advance. And then when it did start again, everything cost twice as much as it was before. And now I wasn't worried about other people calling me crazy. I was like, I'm crazy, Lord, for sure. There's no way this could happen. We're crazy. There's no way this could ever happen. But then I'll tell you something, because remember, it never looks like what it will be. I was standing right there by that big microphone stand, right here Friday night, and the Lord hit me, man, because I got to see something that was so beautiful, and you get to see it here every Tuesday. Show them the video. Come on, give it up for the Lord. You know what that is? That's 3,000 worshipers, more than 3,000, packing out every inch of this room, giving the Lord all the glory. And I stood there, and I thought, man, I never could have envisioned it being like this. That was Bethel Music leading 3,000 people from right here, leading them into worship. And you know what was so crazy? That was the end of this very busy season in our lives, a span of 9 days. And get this, in 9 days, 16,000 different people came in this room and worshiped Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Come on, 16,000 people. But I thought it was just a truck warehouse. It never looks like what it will be. See, God built this building back in the 90s, and he knew what it was gonna be. God knows what you will be. He knows what you will do. But here's the thing, to you and to me, it never looks like what it will eventually be. So the question is, what do we do with that? It rarely ever looks like what it's gonna be. Only as you obey the Lord and you say yes to every turn, do you get a little bit more of a glimpse of your destination. He reveals to you your next turn, but he doesn't always reveal to you your destination. And as this place went under construction and started to take form, and they started removing columns and putting a new roof and doing all this work in here and building a stage, when all that progress started happening, step by step, I got to see a little bit of what it was going to be like. But it never looks like what it will be. Anyone ever shop at IKEA before? Put your hand up. Anyone shop at IKEA before? I'm going to get sued one day. Especially if you shop online. You know, one day I bought this dresser from IKEA online. Beautiful dresser. I liked the look, I liked the style, and I sure liked the price. The price was great. And I said, perfect. So I ordered it, and I got it delivered to my house. I'm waiting, I'm tracking, I see the delivery, I see the big truck come up. I'm like, this is great. Here comes my dresser. Can't wait to put it in my bedroom. The wifey's going to be so happy. This is going to be amazing. And this dude came up, and I'm expecting like a forklift maybe, you know, or at least like a big dolly or a big cart. And he came up with these three little boxes in his arms, and he put them down, and he said, sir, here you go. Could you sign here? I was like, oh, no, bro, you don't understand. I ordered a dresser. I don't know what that is, but I ordered a dresser. Oh, no, sir, this is what you ordered. Look, here, see, the numbers, they all match. I'm like, bro, no, that ain't a dresser. And he says, oh, it will be. And I'm like, what? And, you know, then I started. And you open the box, and there's just pieces everywhere. And I'm like, this does not resemble what I was promised. Not even in the slightest. I was promised this big, strong, beautiful dresser, and I just got a whole bunch of pieces. And then I have instructions that don't even have English writing on them. There's like these little stick figures that are like doing stuff. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? And I'm a man, so you gotta understand, us men, we don't take instructions. We don't need instructions. I don't need that. I'll put it together myself. Give me the picture. I can make it. That is a bad strategy with IKEA. Let me just tell you. Bro, use the instructions. Every woman here is smart enough to know that. Men, use the instructions. Trust me, if you want it to look like what you bought, use the instructions. Lindsay and I get to do a lot of premarital counseling in our ministry. You know what the final stage of it is? I get them to assemble an IKEA piece together. If two fiancés can assemble an IKEA piece and stay together, they're good for life, bro. Married people in the room, don't try that, okay? I'm not trying to have any divorces on my name. Because for some of y'all, it'll do it. But let me tell you, the boxes don't look like the blessing. Here's the key, what I'm trying to tell you. You got to work with your boxes until they become your blessing. It never looks like what it will be. Somebody should be clapping right now. It never looks like what it'll be. You got to go step by step with that IKEA stuff. You can't skip steps. I've tried. It crumbles. You got to go step by step. You got to use the instructions. And as you do every single step, it'll start to look a little bit more like what you ordered. And if you follow the instructions, it will be. Here's what I want to tell you. It's the same way in your life. You got to go step by step, turn by turn, even though you don't see the destination. That's what is called faith. God, I don't know where you're taking me, but you're saying do this right now, I'll do it. If you can get to that point, I promise you, your estimated time of arrival will be a whole lot better. Don't take words from me, because my advice is worth nothing. Take it from the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible, shows you how it works. It says this in the book of Psalm. It's so simple, but I don't know that we really get it. Psalm chapter 119, verse 105, it says this, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto thy path. It doesn't say thy word is going to tell me the plans that God has for me or the calling that he has on my life. It says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Why unto my feet? So I can take another step. Let me show it to you, because I don't know that you really get it. Vinny, turn the lights off, bro. Don't be scared, okay? We don't do Halloween stuff here. Nothing spooky is going to happen. I know it's that time of season. We don't roll like that, okay? Turn the screen off. Make it real dark in here. Vinny, lights. These ones. Thank you. You're the man. I got a little flashlight right here, and I want to show you, if you want to see more of the plan that God has for you, it's a lamp onto your feet. You see how that works? God gives you enough. Here's why it's a lamp onto your feet. God gives you enough to take the next step. He gives you enough to move forward in faith, to take one step farther. But see, when we're constantly in the what if, and we say, God, I need to know the destination, what we want is we want him to show us the final point. But that's not the way God works. He gives you a lamp onto your feet. So here's everything I came to tell you tonight. If you want to see more, Christians, you got to step more. If you want to see more of the plan that the Lord has for you, you got to start stepping in what he's telling you to do right now. No matter how scary it is, no matter how much it makes sense or how much it doesn't make sense, if you want to see more, you got to step more. Thy word? Yeah. I like that hallelujah you got over there, bro. Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet. Thy word, the word of God, you can put them back on, Vinny. Thank you, bro. The word is your instruction manual for life. Just like IKEA comes with that little no good instruction manual, the Lord has given you an instruction manual that's so much greater and so much more detailed. And yeah, it might not tell you your destination, but it tells you what to do next. God will reveal to you your next step. The most important step that you take in your life will not be the job interview that you say yes to. The most important step that you can take in your life right now is the next one. Someone needs to start stepping again. Someone here has been sitting in the same place for a long time, and you're worried, and you're worried, and you don't know why you're still here. The word of the Lord for you today is it's time to step again. It's time to start moving again. Because you have a God who goes with you. In fact, he goes before you. The GPS knows what's coming up ahead, so you can trust it. Half of y'all don't check GPS. If it says go this way, you'll go this way. It could take you 4 hours, and you'd be like, what is this random field that a murderer is in? But the GPS took you there, you'd go. I wish I had that kind of faith in my God, that I'd listen to him the same way that I listen to Siri. Last point. Here's what God's saying to you tonight. He's saying, go, then I will show. Go, start moving. You got to step first, Christian, then I'll show you. I'll hold your hand. I'll be there every single step of the way. But staying where you are right now and just wishing that you were in Italy because you saw your friend post those pictures in Italy, staying where you are right now ain't going to get you to Italy, bro. You got to get a job. Make some money. Go to Expedia.ca. Book a ticket. This is not sponsored. Go get some delicious pasta in the streets of Rome. That's how it goes, but you're not going to get to Italy by staying where you are. The Lord is saying to you tonight, you want that peace, but you got to leave where you're at. You want away from that depression. It's time that you take a step. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying it's going to happen like that. But I'm saying as you step more, you'll see more. And God will be with you as you step. Realizing your purpose is a process. Realizing what God has for you in this life, teenagers, college students, anybody, hear this, it's a process, and it happens step by step. You don't leap into your calling, and you certainly don't fall into your calling. God doesn't do anything by accident. He guides you turn by turn, every step of the way, like a good father does, because that's what he is, but it requires faith. That's what faith is. It's stepping, even though you don't know what's after the next step. It's being obedient before you see the outcome. See, we want to know the outcome before we will obey. God, if it's in my favor, I'll do it. But if it's not, faith is obedience before the outcome. But remember, it never looks like what it will be. Your first date is not going to look like your wedding day, but you got to go on it anyway. Some people in this room, you've been hurt. People have done wrong things to you, and you say, I'm done. I'm never dating again. But the Lord's saying, you got to step. Maybe he has something and someone for you. But you got to step again. You still got to go on the date. The first day of class, students, never looks like the graduation stage. But you got to step for 4 years, and then they'll hand you that degree. Step by step, the first day in the gym, good Lord, the first day in the gym. It never looks like the cringy ab selfie that people take in the mirror. And you know, if you're one of those people that say, I would never take a selfie like that, that's because you ain't got no abs, bro. Trust me, you put in the work for 6 years, you'll be taking more pictures than your phone storage can handle. But here's the thing. We want the finish line before we even run the first lap. That's why people buy those things they put on their abs for 8 easy payments of $19.99. And then they think that you're going to have abs. No, bro. You got to cut out the cookies if you want abs. But we say, God, show me. Show me and then I'll go. Give me the map. Show me what's going to happen. Give me the map and then I'll follow you. The word of the Lord tonight for you is that no, he's saying go. Go first, then I'll show you. Go and then I'll show you. Obey and I will show you. Obedience and then you get the outcome. Psalm 37 and then we're done. Psalm 37 says this. The Lord makes firm. We read it at the beginning of the night. But now I hope you get it. The Lord makes firm the steps. Look to your neighbor and say steps. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Step by step, though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hands. It's time to step again. I know it will be hard. You might still fumble. You stumble. You might fumble too if you play football. I don't know. But you're going to stumble. But you will not fall. His hands will hold you. He makes your step firm. Why? Because he's a light, a lamp onto your path. But the first turn will never look like the destination. But you still gotta go. You still gotta take the turn.